Think we're good.
Yep, we're on.
Okay, Andrew Mallory, Transportation Advisory Board is now 6:12 on Wednesday, October the 23rd, 2019. We don't have quorum, but we're going to go ahead with the meeting. So the minutes, the first agenda, we cannot approve it all until we have quorum for the next meeting. So we can continue.
You know what? I'm just kind of wondering procedurally. I do see that Mark Adams has resigned.
He has.
Yes, as of September 5th. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that doesn't change our quorum.
I have no idea.
Well, we still technically aren't a quorum because it's got to be one over a majority.
And even if there's six,
even with six, three is still not a majority.
That's absolutely right. So we can't. No big deal.
Okay, so we don't have quorum, but let's go ahead regardless with the agenda present.
I'll follow up with Kathy on that vacancy, too.
I'm Andrew Mallory, and to my left,
Mary Baumgartner.
Rich Faith.
Terry Cummings, Council President.
Lance Calverts, Public Works Director and City Engineer, and Staff Liaison to the TAB.
Excellent, thank you. So, we will postpone review of the approval of the August summary notes or minutes and move straight on to business number item number 2A, Go Bond Transportation Projects update. I'll hand that right out to you, Lance.
Yeah, so Monday night we had an updated presentation to the City Council on the Main Street project. I got some good feedback and direction on that. I certainly encourage you guys, if you didn't get a chance to review that video, I went through, there's some updates to the project for the courtesy of the TAB members. One of the big changes that we're working on right now is with PGE. Originally, if you guys recall, we were going to go down the alley with the power lines on top on the existing overhead poles through that corridor. PGE has reviewed it and they're advising against that corridor because of the proximity of the poles to the existing buildings and the sort of the amount of what's on those poles already. And so they looked at and included in the council packet on Monday was a couple of different alternative routes. And I think what was settled on at the council meeting was the route that would that would bury the power lines from where they are buried at between 11th and 12th, and we would underground the power lines up to the intersection of 12th, and then which was the prior plan already, and then instead of turning and going down the alley between Knapp's Alley, between Main Lion Falls Drive and 6. Instead, we would stay underground and turn up to 8th. So we would bury those lines along 12th between 8th, which is close to the police station, and 12th. So there's an overhead line in there that we would underground. And then basically reroute the everything to 8th. So when you get past the fire station, already poles there all the way along 8th right now, so it would utilize those poles where there's a lot less issues with setbacks from the buildings, because 8th has setbacks where the alley doesn't have any setbacks. It's a zero setback along the alley. And a lot less congestion along the pole in that area. So it works, I think, a lot better. And it has the additional benefit of burying the line on 12th, which I think long-term the goal is to bury everything.
But that's being done because of the new construction, right? That bury is part of the new building that's going in?
So the we were utilizing the underground that's part of the new construction in any alternative.
Right.
And so we're just sort of picking up from where they left off and extending around the corner to 8.
Okay.
And so I think it helps PGE immensely to be able to not go into the alley and disrupt a bunch of the existing services, and they really are fearful about having to have taller poles to get setback and distance requirements from the existing buildings. And using alley arms is an issue for them in that alley because of easements to the residential properties adjacent there. So they had talked about also going through the neighborhood further to the south and around the school, if you look in that drawing, and all that would stay in the right of way and overhead, so nothing would have to be buried. But that wasn't seen as desirable because it'd be cutting through the residential neighborhood areas in the historic district and trimming a bunch of trees and generally very disruptive versus going along 8th, which is much less disruptive.
Change in the cost?
Yeah.
A slight increase in the cost because of the additional length of burial along 12th. And in front of the police station. So everything's buried already in front of the police station, but there's not a three-phase 12.5 or 12 point whatever KV line in front of the police station. That's the big thing is along Willamette Falls Drive, there's what's called their primary circuit for PGE. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be sort of cutting into the street in front of the police station to put in their new 12.5 kV line through there. The nice thing about that route is the existing Rachel has arrived.
So we now actually
have a forum.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Sorry. It was very difficult for me to get here at 6.
So it's 6:19. Rachel showed up. So we now actually have quorum. So maybe we should go back.
So we can back up and do the
minutes. Back up and just approve the minutes from the October 23rd meeting.
August 28th. Meeting.
Yeah, August
28th. Mm-hmm. You should have the today's date is October 23rd, and then you should have a copy of.
You just have a minute.
Copies of the same bloody.
Yeah, meeting. Where?
Yeah, so you guys.
Oh, you've got multiple. Oh, okay.
It's here.
Okay.
August 28th meeting. Thank you.
Okay, that's you. This is me. Very good.
Yes.
Thanks, Rachel. So I propose a motion to approve those minutes.
Could I first make a couple comments?
I'm going to need to read them.
Okay. Well, you're reading maybe.
Go ahead, Rich.
Mm-hmm. Well, just minor things. But so on the under item 3A, the motion, just a typo, just so there's no confusion that we were talking about a trail. It was a trial.
Mm.
We're talking about a trial run,
yes.
Not a trail to be put in.
Yes.
Anyone read it might get a little confused about
change.
How all of a sudden we're...
Exactly. Minor
change.
The A and I need to be flipped on that one, so that's a good catch.
The other thing is just, and I know whoever prepares this is basically... following the agenda as the agenda's prepared and made up, but you know it's to the casual reader, D 3D is really sort of misleading because it doesn't really zero in on what the discussion is. The discussion was about Willamette Falls Drive, and when it talks about arterial roadway preliminary design, it conveys that all arterials within the city? Is that what we're talking about? So it was just, you know, it would be beneficial to really be more precise about what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only point. It's just, when I was looking at that, I was trying to remember, what arterial roadways, you know, or is there one? Anyway, it dawned on me that we're really just talking about the Willamette Falls Drive. It would just be helpful to be more clear about what that discussion
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only point.
And you could even put the Willamette Falls Drive project, put that in there under the word the and project in the next sentence.
But is it, Terry, is this Willamette Falls Drive project, or is it Main Street project, that title?
It was Willamette Falls Drive. I had to go back into my notes.
There are several confusions.
Yeah, because the arterial, so the reason it's labeled on your agenda as arterial roadway is the project. So the problem is we have multiple projects on Willamette Drive. So our two arterial roads are Willamette Falls Drive,
okay,
which is from Highway 43 to the Tualatin River.
Okay.
And then our other arterial roadway, we've got Salamo, obviously,
right,
up the hill, but our other is Highway 43, which is Willamette Drive from Lake right. Oswego down to
right.
Willamette Falls Drive and the Arch Bridge. And so we have a project that's called the Arterial Roadway Design Project, which probably isn't the best name, but that is for designing everything along Highway 43 south of our existing project with ODOT. So
okay.
Willamette Drive from Hidden Springs down to the Arch Bridge. And then also it's designing all of Willamette Falls Drive
uh-huh.
from Highway 43 down to the Tualatin River, except for the Main Street area, which is currently under construction, under complete design to go to construction.
Okay.
So it's getting challenging, right, on how we describe these projects. But to your point, the conversation was really focused, and the update in the open house was focused on Willamette Falls Drive,
right,
not on Highway 43.
Yeah.
So regardless of what we call
the project
or the design scope for the designer, I agree, it's really Willamette Falls Drive open house discussion.
So for the sake of argument, these are notes that are taken from the recording. These aren't things to be suggested or added into. So I don't know who composed it. Was this you?
No. So we have my management analyst, Morgan, takes the audio from the meeting.
Okay.
And she puts together the summary notes, which are not transcribed minutes.
So my point being,
because we still have the audio,
unless it was said, arterial roadway preliminary design open house update, unless that was actually said in the notes, I don't think it should be added into the notes. Because that is making an assumption. While we may know that, adding into the actual notes and then expecting it to be approved feels a little bit like a misnomer to me. So I want it to be, if it's going to be notes in seemingly transcribed as best as possible and accurate, I want it to be whatever it was referred to during that meeting. Even though we may say, oh, we really need to define it a little clearer, like what you said,
right.
So that we're not confused. I think whatever is on that recording is what needs to be on this piece of paper, not something added in, even though she probably was probably a very good thing. It just needs to transcribe properly.
So we don't,
correctly.
Yeah, so for the summary notes, we don't do a direct transcription. This is not a court recording.
No.
The purpose of the summary notes, because the audio is the actual minutes of the meeting.
Right.
So the purpose of the summary notes is just to give some context and text to each item in a summary form so that you don't have to go through every bit of the audio to know the minutes of the meeting.
Certainly.
Right. So it's because we don't transcribe exactly or. Yeah.
So then, with that said, because you caught a couple of little typos, I caught another typo, number 7, adjournment, meeting adjourned, probably should be by Andrew.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Which again, if it is a summary, you know, it's almost seemingly in draft form still, which is okay. There's just, you know, kind of a gray area. I'm sure you saw my email about why are draft notes going out to the public and out to the citizens. It has propensity to allow for error or be misleading to the public when things haven't actually been determined. However, my name is also misspelled throughout the summary notes. Still. So.
Yes.
Right. Is it spelled correctly on here? Let's see if we get that right.
It is.
Okay.
But you know, these are...
Good points, Rachel. I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do it properly. I agree with you.
May I make a suggestion procedure-wise?
Yes.
You might be able to cut down the time you take in your meetings by reading the minutes in advance and sending your suggestions to staff, and they can compile those prior to the meeting.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Would Morgan be receptive if we were to make point those out to her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's very easy.
I would gladly do that. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't.
She's very easy.
Rather than waiting.
That sometimes can cut down 15 or 20 minutes.
I am going to be devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's a good idea. Because then we're sort of working in this autonomous manner. That's the whole reason we're here to sit. I'm like, oh yeah, I see what you say. I see what you say, or you're alluding to.
Well, maybe if it's a name.
I'm talking about what you said.
Okay, but a typo. If it's a typo, right.
Had an issue that the term Arterial Roadway Preliminary Design Open House Update. That's not a typo. Got to say that I don't think, I mean, I'll scan these, but I probably will not be sending her edits, because then you can share more with me and say, oh, no, what about this? I'm like, oh, yeah, I gotcha. I'm not sure. I think that is a good thing. This is supposed to be a group, not individual.
Right. And it's all, I think, certainly typos, stuff like
trial
instead of trail, or
trail does change the context of the statement.
Right. So getting those typos fixed, you know, the by my, you know,
that's a summary. I mean, you know, but the trial thing that really does change the context of the sentence.
Well, we know what it meant.
What was meant?
The public.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
reads this and benefit, they may not.
Benefit of the public that reads this and is trying to understand what they were talking about.
Well, I think that, I mean,
I didn't know there was a trail going in.
I think this gets to it.
Well, I mean, that I want to jump in here real quick, because I do think that at this point now we need to absolutely and very clearly define each of these projects, because we don't have a main street. Mm-hmm. We don't, period. But we have a project that's entitled Main Street. We have another project entitled Willamette Falls Drive. We have another project entitled an Arterial Road. I mean, how you put those together, and you're quite right, Rachel, we've got to be very specific about what we're putting down here. I agree with you. But there is more confusion above that complication with the public, because, I mean, we have the Historic Main Street Society whose website is part of the Main Street group, as it were. Their website is not entitled... There's a confusion between the two, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
People are asking me constantly, what is the difference between Main Street, Historic Main Street, Willamette Project, and Arterial Project? And it's, although I understand it, it's really, really confusing for the public.
So to your point, like when the council awards the Main Street project, what they'll actually be awarding is the construction bid for Willamette Falls Drive from 10th to 16th.
Which is very, very confusing.
So that people clearly understand that this is the Willamette Falls Drive project from 10th to 16th,
yeah.
Right? So I think that's the key. And then to the point, it gets to... there's always, I think, this back and forth, even at the council level, about minutes and postings, and because some members of the public are like, no, we want the draft minutes within a week of the meeting to be posted and available for review, even before the group has approved the minutes. Or the draft minutes, and so there's a whole conversation at the council level.
Yeah,
that's not exactly it. We have council rules,
right?
And the main purpose of it is to have the minutes available for the council and the public to read prior to the next meeting, and so that would typically occur within about 2 weeks normally. unless the meetings are too close together, in which you have to be flexible in those cases. But the whole idea is that so that you have something in writing people can just read through very quickly before they go to the next meeting, or so that they can see what happened.
Which
at the last
I think
meeting.
Is a great idea.
Yeah.
My concern is, and I know we're rabbit trailing now, but my concern is putting draft notes out there, a draft concept, or the word draft should never go public. Nothing, a project that's draft does not go to a client. So I feel like once it's approved, great.
I just don't think that draft goes
to the public. We in the city of Whistling, we have a lot of things that go down of miscommunications, people interpreting things on Facebook, on all kinds of social media, in meetings. I just think the idea of having things approved or that the people were actually there is a wise endeavor, but it's neither here nor there. It's just my personal opinion. Drafts should not go out.
So is there a way, Lance, that we can entitle to that exact topic? Is there a way that we can uncomplicate this in the public's mind?
I think you just touched on one of the big differences between public and private enterprise is that because our minutes involve public comment and, you know, things like that, and because a lot of our process is basically draft until it's approved publicly, we deal with drafts. And so we make the drafts available so that if somebody feels like their name was misspelled or their comments were miscommunicated, they can say, I see this is in the draft, please correct it. That's why it's done.
Fair enough. As I'm sure you sitting on the council and the mayor are very well aware, then the public will come back if there is something in there and lynch you for certain things that could potentially be wrong. So that's just, you know, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. So
Morgan sends me the draft minutes for my approval prior to a meeting, and she's very, very diligent in what she does.
You got these before we did?
Yeah.
Yes. I have to approve them before they're published.
Yeah, this department has always been real good about
right.
that.
Right, and she's very good. I mean, within a day or two, I get the... I mean, she's on it.
Yeah, well, so
that
doesn't speak well
things.
For you, Andrew.
Because just as you stated 4 minutes ago, I do not have the time to fine-tooth comb every single spelling mistake.
Well, I know, but trail versus... trial, very different thing. So I think that's something. I don't care. Don't correct my name. I don't care. I'm just making a point of trail and trial, very different context in a sentence.
Then it's my fault as chairman. I completely
overlooked that. I don't want to be hard on you. I just feel like, you know, I mean.
But I understood the context.
We don't want to do things in mediocrity. We want to
do
things right, and that, and then have public support. So that's really big picture. That's where I'm at.
I will then read the minutes more carefully and thoroughly before I get back to Morgan to approve them.
So, in summary, I think what I'm hearing is name correction to get the right spelling. Trial should be trial. On 3A.
And number
for
7, adjournment.
Well, before we get there, 3D, since it was posted in the minutes as arterial roadway, that is correct.
Yeah,
but
it's consistent with the agenda title.
Correct.
Right?
But in the sentence following 3D, I think the correction should be no additional open house for Willamette Falls Drive will be scheduled until the project is closer to construction.
That would help clarify exactly what we were talking about.
Right. Okay. And then on 7, instead of meeting adjourned my, it would be meeting adjourned by Andrew at 7:40.
So I apologize.
So with those corrections.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
I would move we approve the minutes with those corrections.
I second.
Great. Motion
all
approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? No? So the minutes are approved, I guess. I don't know the comparison. Stop laughing at me.
Good.
I'm doing my best right now.
No, I think that was perfect.
I'm more concerned, frankly, right now with what the phone calls that I get and the text messages and God knows what of people that are confused by the titling of these projects. Main Street does not exist in 97068. We do not have a Main Street. But the Main Street project is what we're actually talking about in the same breath and the same context as we're talking about Willamette Drive between 10th and 16th.
Correct.
Right? Am I correct?
Willamette
so please, please, and you're right, Rachel, let's not mislead the public, but we're doing a grand job of it. Let's put those under one. There is no Main Street, right? Unless we rename it Main Street. Now I got laughed out about that at council. So let's call it whatever it is and be absolutely definitive about it.
There is a Main Street organization, but there is no such thing as Main Street.
It doesn't exist.
And what's the actual neighborhood right there?
It's the Willamette neighborhood.
And so the
official title of the project would be Willamette Falls Drive from 10th to 16th.
Yes, I like that.
That's what we had Monday night.
Right, so this is the diagram.
By the way, was that during a work session or was it during a regular council meeting?
It was a work session.
A work session.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's first thing on the work session if you want to tune in.
That's what I just wanted to make sure I tune into the right thing.
And it's on the video link if you look under the meetings tab of the... So we had a whole presentation sort of on where we're at right now. Like I said earlier, the big item right now is rerouting PGE, and instead of rerouting them to the alley, rerouting them along 12th to 8th so that they can accommodate all of their needs. And then the other item that we're working on as directed by council is to look at, now there's currently an overhead crossing at 12th, that will go away because of the rerouting along 12th to 8th, so that takes care of that. And then we have two more overhead crossings in the area, and that's there's one overhead at 14th, and then there's one overhead from 15th to Dollar. And so the council's asked staff to work with PGE to identify the costs of undergrounding those overheads.
So, Lance, how does that affect the fact that we're going out to bid next week?
It doesn't affect, the crossings can be added, it won't affect our bid or bid process for the project.
Okay, so while we're on that note, can we make it absolutely crystal clear that any arguments involved or controversy involved in front end or rear end parking is quite literally a matter of striping after the fact. Am I right or wrong saying that?
That is correct. So that doesn't impact our ability to move forward with the project.
Excellent. So we have that can be bashed about left, right, and center for probably, what, another 6, 7, 8 months?
Well, our goal for construction is, like I say, their goal right now is to have council award on December 9th and then start... I anticipate on the construction end of things that Northwest Natural Gas will start before sometime in December to start relocating their natural gas line that's in conflict with the trees and curb line that's proposed. It's not a huge inconvenience, and then we've already worked with Main Street and with the Parks Department on key dates for special events and stuff to where they won't be working and that kind of thing. And most of their stuff is boring, so it's not as crazy as the road work.
They don't carve out the surface of the
Road. They don't really carve out. They have pits, obviously, yes, where they're working.
And then they go.
And then they have service connections where they cut over services. But all manageable and not super difficult.
So at this point, Lance, to this specific project?
To this project, we plan on starting construction in January. We'll have a separate contract for tree removal. That will also start in January. The contractor for this project will start on all the utility work. So. There's a little bit of water line work and a lot of the stormwater work, and so the storm work will probably be what they concentrate on first, and then they'll start basically on construction on one side, basically the south side of the project, I think, first. We're still working out the details of north versus south. And then once the south side's basically the concrete work's mostly done, then they flip to the north side. I anticipate that the construction will be substantially complete. Striping will come into play probably in May. And so we'll really need to sort of have a decision in May.
So there's plenty of time to discuss.
Right.
Front and when, first. It's not fundamental to starting the project.
Correct. And so what we'll also do is not do the top layer of asphalt until the very last thing. That way we're not scarring up the asphalt surface. Mm-hmm. So what we'll end up doing as the curb goes in and some temp, we'll have some temp markings in there. So we'll come back to council probably between now and then and say, do you want us to temp mark head in or back in? And
would you be around May? Or
assumably it would be head in because that's what we've heard from the businesses. And then we would see how that goes. And then probably sometime in May, when we're doing the final stripe or the final paving, we'll have to, at that point, know what the final configuration is.
Rachel, go ahead.
Thank you. So because I was absent, so it was not approved either one way or the other because, you know, I sit on the EDC. Mm-hmm. And there is a member there that stated that council had said it, you know, we were backing in and that ICON, or am I saying that right, mm-hmm. had said we're not doing the trial. And so is this correct? And because what I'm hearing from you is that not, so because I was at the meeting and then I had a verbal
so the council,
slap on the hand for not attending the work session due to parental commitments, that I didn't show up, and that it had been approved. ICON was like, no, we're not doing that. Forget it. We're not doing it. Council said, go ahead and back in. And so now I'm sure they're listening to this, or will be, that I just want to make it very clear.
So there was no vote by council for head in or back.
No vote whatsoever. Okay. We went round
to say
because
I was surprised because I thought no one reported.
It was a general consensus of opinion. I believe that was asked. I mean, all those.
There was sort of the pros and cons of both, and it was discussed both ways. But there was no
decision.
And that was sort of my assumption as
a vigorous discussion, but you know, it's
no final decision.
No, because
it just doesn't feel like the, you know, that there's enough awareness of what.
And
this
we had kind of discussed
involves.
That 100%. In our last meeting. We all determined
One of our biggest jobs as a council, you guys. We really need to reach out and ask people to look at this, ask people to picture it, go to the websites, look at it, think about it.
So because of the net, you know, because of the difficulty of visualizing what's not there.
Something, well, I'm backing in, you know, that's an actual.
Particularly with the fact of the existing configuration with the little frontage roads and not being directly on Willamette Falls
that's
Drive.
What people are picturing.
So I think. Yeah, so I think staff's thought was we continue to have work session with the council on the topic, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. that we at least get to where we've started to build some of the curb so that people can really
there's no
do it.
Lance
it's not visualizing, it's now doing.
So,
right?
I think that is so important to remember from, well, I mean, we're like 2.5, 3, 4 months, maybe somewhere in that less. From this starting. Mm-hmm. And the problem for all of us, myself included, and everyone around this table and the community, is it's been very, very difficult to visualize what we're trying to achieve.
Right.
And that causes tremendous amount of, quite rightly and understandably, causes a tremendous amount of controversy and comment. But what we're trying to ascertain now is the fact that funds have been allocated for this project. The project is going out to bid next week. We have a final meeting with council on December the 9th, which is literally the hammer comes down at that point. We asked
but
council.
But not on the issue of back-end parking.
But not yeah. on the issue, thank you, of yeah. back-end parking.
So we could even...
So there's 8 or 9 months so worth of throwing crap at each other if we want to about front-end or rear-end parking.
We can have
it's a matter
focus
of striping,
groups.
Not the main construction.
I mean, we could even go so far as not put down the top lift of asphalt and do it literally a year later and stripe it final.
I'd rather
you know, so that hopefully we can make a decision.
Yeah.
Right. When does that decision have to be made, Lon? Seriously.
Probably April is the sort of
April
to stay
30th, end of April.
Yeah. Otherwise you're just sort of delaying the contractor and his mold.
And it's gonna cost us an ungodly amount of money if we do that.
Probably. Well, I don't know if it's an ungodly but there might be additional cost for delay.
So let's make that crystal clear.
So I
we
don't
have until the end of April 2020.
So the goal is safety and efficiency.
100%.
And it's a completely different streetscape than we have mm-hmm. now, and sometimes that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's
people
you know,
can't visualize
so
it. They're confused.
So you have to kind of put yourself in a different place that has different things and look at it.
But
I
Terry, there also we have public going to oh, yeah. open houses right. that are looking
that's
at. I mean, I've been
yeah,
there.
So that, they can see it and test it out.
Yeah. After the report came to the EDC. Yeah. That this was very different than what we had discussed, I thought, okay, when I came here, I knew I had to get some clarification.
Yeah, no,
that's
we're
miscommunication.
Not
yes,
we're
I would agree.
Absolutely.
Really, the council, I'm speaking for
please,
myself, but
go.
I think I'm also speaking for the council.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to get buy-in from the businesses mm-hmm. along there. We do not
well,
want
absolutely.
Them to feel adversely affected
absolutely
in
agree.
Any way.
100%.
There's also a long shot here. There's always going to be an adjustment if you do change your traffic patterns. There always is, no
yes.
matter what you do, even if it's just a little stop
agree.
Sign.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yes.
always about a 6 to 1 year adjustment, from what I've heard.
Right.
So we need to also understand that you don't want to take the short you know thing just because that's the worry because you have to know you're going to go through that
mm-hmm.
so whether back in is the best idea or not we have to be looking at that whether that's the most safe and efficient thing for this particular model
and we have until the end of April
yeah.
of next year 2020 to
right.
to fight that out until
and
everyone
yes.
in the community is comfortable with one or
everyone
the other.
Everyone who cares deeply about this, we need to hear from people.
Right.
We need to also ask them to look at this. Just, I mean, to really actually look at it.
Right.
You know?
So let's put this one to bed, right? So just for the minutes for the record, we have until April 2020 to continue throwing buns at each other, whatever we're going to do, until we decide whether it's front-end or rear-end parking. And the reason for that is because the end product is a result of striping, not construction. So we have plenty of time to discuss that, get the community behind it one way or the other. But none of this detracts from construction and PGE starting their preliminaries
mm-hmm.
in December and us going into construction in January mm-hmm. 2020.
Yep. And I think, you know, if we have super awesome weather, you know, and the contractor's really ahead of schedule, then maybe that's a little earlier in April, but we'll be coming back to the group and everybody in the council in that process if that happens. I don't foresee that happening, but, you know, I always put a caveat of, you know, construction schedules can change. But we could also, I think, delay that top layer of asphalt. You know, that's not going to have a big adverse impact to outdoor dining or, you know, those kinds of activities. So that'll move pretty quickly.
Excellent.
I know the Handris, and who represents a lot of the business owners there, has really, really advocated for head-in parking for his businesses who have been very concerned about it. So that's how we've shown it on the preliminary plans, just so we have something marked. The linear footage works either way because we pay by linear foot of stripe. So it doesn't really it's not a big deal for us to change it.
Sure. So let me, okay, so let's put that one to bed. We've kind of, it's like flogging a dead horse right now. So let's, that's well stated, and thank you. So is there anything else, Lance? Anything else that could come up between now and January that would delay or stop this project from starting?
I don't see any reason why there should be any delay or issues. You know, we continue, like I said, to make little tweaks. We've gotten some suggestions about some additional from council about some additional options they want to look at for aesthetics, but they're not substantial, you know, as far as impacts to the design. So stuff like pavers and the crosswalks and those kinds of things, or different surface treatments, right? So right, it's sort of
where
a decorative
are the water
type element.
Going to go, and what's the color
yeah,
of the
so
plants?
So when we're down to that right. point, I think that's it.
We're pretty good shape.
Okay,
right?
That's
so
a,
I think
that's
we're a, solid. I think that project is good. Is got some good traction.
So would it be fair to assume or say or state that we've satisfied the concerns that have been presented by the community, be that from the Main Street Society, the Historical Society, or the business community?
Can I say something? There was some discussion about, you know, whether to make those sidewalks even wider. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Lance was trying to explain, the wider you make the sidewalk, the more you have a change in
the grade, yep.
the grade, and the more you're going to have a step down to the next level, which is going to be harder for ADA and things like that. You know what I mean? It's just kind
and
of
we satisfied the concerns.
So right now we have a minimum of 12 foot wide. Now, isn't this room about 12 foot?
We no. can pace it off, but
probably
maybe
close
yeah.
to.
So just again, I think sometimes it's really good to picture something, like measure it out and say, can you imagine a bunch of nice tables and chairs, enough room in this? I'm going to guess this is close to 12 feet.
So Terry, on that note, which is really...
This is the sidewalk.
Which has been very well presented by and it's of major concern. So on... Okay,
unimpeded, by the way.
So number one is is a concern for safety with this particular project, right? So it sounds to me like we've pretty much addressed safety concerns. Secondary to that is the business community, right? Very important. And there's been a lot of hoo and ha and God knows what, and I've been polite about that, about is my business going to increase or decrease in terms of the available footage in front
None
of
None of them are going to decrease.
Right.
Can you speak to that categorically?
Yeah, so as we stated at the council meeting, no, there won't be any businesses losing outdoor dining space or tables. They'll all be either maintaining or gaining. Now, I did say at the council meeting, the one that's got, that we're still, I got to count the actual tables and see exactly how it lines up with the plans is Jay Willie's, because their table spacing right now does not meet ADA. And so they don't have the minimum spacing between the tables, particularly in the summer months. So that will be we've counted them all. So that I think they're about the same. But, you know that if you already don't meet the requirements, there's a limit of what we can do. And I think it's really close, but that would be the one where... You know, I'd hate to say, oh, everybody has the same exact number of chairs, and then he's like,
no,
oh, I lose one chair.
We're not
and I'm
saying
like,
chairs. We're saying we're talking about sidewalk footage, and they're a corner project property, and aren't they going to get more space because they're a corner?
Yes.
So I thought that was going out to 15 or
Mary.
Something.
So I just had a quick clarification. I also heard, is it not true that they occupy space that if another restaurant were to go in at the corner, they would be allotted some sidewalk space?
Yeah, so that gets to the issue of spacing and tables, because they do trail their tables down in front of some other properties. So one of the things that we're working on also with, I think it's the EDC, is the street outdoor dining standards and street seating and cafes. And, you know, I think the goal was to... really hone in on the sidewalk dining and make sure that the rules are set for that, that council can approve and adopt based on an EDC recommendation. Yes. And then once that's done, start talking about the street cafes or street seating where somebody could actually convert a parking stall into additional outdoor dining space based on a permitting process. Places, Portland and a lot of other communities do that. And so I think we're trying to get step one done first and then maybe move on to the step two.
So let's wrap.
Just to add to that, so whoever's listening or if you don't are not aware, you can certainly speak to this. When engineering came to the EDC, which they are coming again this next month, is, you know, because parking is so limited and such a valuable commodity down there, that we are gaining actually more parking. And I think you may have alluded this as well. So there is that opportunity to have and take street seating, you know, and do that and make it a little different than what's expected.
Right, so let's be, good point. Let's be absolutely crystal clear and definitive about this, so for the record here.
Attempting to expand options.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in the EDC and when engineering came, or, you know, the team that was working on this, is that who's responsible for those zones, right? Who's responsible? And what happens if I don't use my, you know, front sidewalk zone, but you do, and are you allowed to encroach on mine? And if you are, should there be something in a code that's written to say, okay, this allows for a year and after that? Or, you know, so that's sort of what we have been tossing about. Clearly, we don't have anything yet, but that's just to give you an idea of what we're doing on our end and then what we'll be bringing to council at some point so you guys can do the approval and...
Good. Well, I mean, this is great. This is means what I'm hearing now is huge amounts of progress. People are talking, and that's great that the EDC are considering that.
It's the next conversation beyond construction.
Right. Yes. So for the record, for the public record, in 97068, City of West Lynn, the businesses will not lose a foot. They will either maintain their existing footprint or, in some cases, gain. How that... Am I correct in that?
In most cases, they gain.
Not building footprint. You're talking about the sidewalk.
I'm talking about the sidewalk.
Yes, but it is usable business space.
Right. Good. Yeah. So that... I mean, I'm saying... I'm hammering this because that's a big deal for the businesses, right? That's the only one major... problem is, how much space am I going to have? Is it going to be small? I've heard it's going to be less. Someone's told me it's going to be more. The fact is, businesses in West Lynn along Willamette Falls Drive will have one of two things. They will either maintain their existing footprint or, in some cases, have an addition to it.
Of the sidewalk. Not their footprint of their actual brick and mortar business.
Right.
The sidewalk.
Which is a very wonderful thing we've achieved. That is addressing our number two concern.
Yeah, the goal is to create the most attractive, useful, safe, because it wasn't always that safe before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Attractive, so that you will have the kind of cohesive look that will invite people to not only come there but come back again, because it's a pleasant, safe experience that you can look up and down the street and see other diners and mm-hmm. lots going on. And
good. It accomplishes a lot.
So we're at a point now where we have addressed, to the best of our ability, the concerns that have come in from the broader community that we're aware of, and have addressed that, and none of them will affect, at this point, us starting construction in January. Mm-hmm. We all agree, myself included, that what we are lacking here, unfortunately, and that's a lot of resource in terms of money probably, is a realistic three-dimensional aesthetic as to what you're going to see when you walk down Willamette Falls Drive. Mm. However, we have some idea of what it'll look like, but the final thing it's impossible at this point to produce, right?
We have produced...
impossible to create an image of the street if you know what the design is.
And we produced an image and included that in the council packet. So if you look at that packet, it should be the next... We didn't include it in the packet.
That was in your PowerPoint.
It's on the city's website.
Okay.
So if you go to the project page website, which is linked in the council packet, there is a rendering that we shared with Main Street that shows the three-dimensional imagery.
But there was some element of issue about the scale. It wasn't completely to scale.
Okay, so it's to scale. It's just missing certain things for visual, so it's not super cluttered. So it shows the sidewalk. It shows the existing businesses.
So that's all I happen to have.
Yeah, so if you click on that... Did I click that?
So they did give you some kind of visual.
We've had,
even the actual businesses.
We've had several, but I think when people got granular about it, it became very, you know, I've got a four-top table out here instead
right.
of two. I mean, it got very granular.
Yeah, we're not showing the four right. tops and, you know, all that level of detail because we want to be able to show the sidewalk. And
did you show, I know there's some code that's in there regarding permanent structured awnings, because that came up in our meeting when engineering was there about the overhangs. I could be calling this the wrong term, so I apologize. But actually that there's code for how far it hangs out, which is not an issue, but actually it can be stationary or year-round. And I know that was something that we were going to talk about.
Gets to the historic review board and how they write their code for awnings and businesses, which won't impact our project. Because we'll just work with the ones that are there.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a good concern, I get it. Right. But what we're trying to do now is make it absolutely clear that if something is likely to derail what's on the table between now and December or January, let's get it out in the open.
Yeah, nothing but, like
and,
that.
And your concern is
next level conversation.
Yeah, this is just something that's coming up in EDC that was presented because, you know, there was
now the sidewalk's getting
and
wider.
And it allows
the awning
for,
look like?
Yeah, it allows for then to have year-round seating out there, right? Mm-hmm. If it's raining or if it's a little bit chillier and can, you know, and
or even in shade.
A shade, exactly.
Yeah,
and rather than, you know, just being over the doorfront. So I know that there's code. I'm so sorry,
Andrew's point, it doesn't impact the project.
Doesn't impact the project, doing, but it is something
but
that
needs to be looked at.
Right.
Absolutely.
And definitely next level.
It's
discussion.
Awesome you brought that. I wouldn't even have thought about that.
And that's probably a partnership opportunity between EDC and HRB.
Well, and it's also, you know, because we do the codes and, you know, we talk about changing codes and revamping codes and updating. So
the historic review board looks at all of the businesses located within the historic district whenever they're doing awnings or storefronts. Or
yes.
Changes mostly to their private property, but it does impact like stuff like awnings and a little bit of sidewalk impact sometimes.
So, excellent.
But I think that's again sort of that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, we were talking earlier about the project, and I think the biggest stress point is getting to perfect, and there's really like. The obstacle to progress is not no, usually. The obstacle to progress is perfection, right? Because you're never going to be perfect, so you never do anything, right? And so the point of this project is we're in a good place. We've got good feedback. We've made a bunch of revisions and we know a great final product. And now it's this next level of conversation, whether it's code for outdoor dining or code for awnings or code for other fixtures or, you know, details on seating or, you know, those kinds of changes. The next conversation with Main Street will be focused on landscaping because right now, you know, currently we have volunteer groups that maintain the little landscape islands and there's really not... There's limited irrigation and those kinds of issues. And so with the new plan, there'll be landscaping at each corner of every intersection, but it'll all be drip irrigation and maintained by the city, because we won't need those volunteers for that task anymore. And so so that opens up the door for those volunteers to work on something else. So again, it's like...
And the light poles will have the capability for...
It's going to look beautiful. From what I can envision, yeah, it's going to be
really pretty.
Absolutely lovely.
Yeah. It's going
to
be,
but it's very hard for someone to
see,
visualize that until it starts to come together.
What do we think the timeline is to, you know, seeming completion? What is it, a couple years?
No.
Well, so the, like I said, the project that will be awarded in December will start in January. Will be done in May. PGE will continue to work throughout 2020. We'll be putting in any landscaping that's irrigated will go in the summer. Anything that the trees will all come in the fall when they're dormant and not actively growing. So I think the project will be done at the end of 2020. So we'll see holiday lighting in 2021,
things will be blooming and really looking lush and pretty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we're our biggest challenge right now is finding big trees. We've been tasked with trying to get, you know, our standard trees are a 2-inch diameter tree. Our task right now is to try and find bigger trees, which is incredibly difficult, because to get a 4 to 6 inch tree, they would basically need to have been planted in 2008 and started in 2008, which is the exact downturn, if you recall, in the economy. So there aren't any wholesalers with big trees, so we're going beyond our typical reach and searching not only Oregon but also Washington. I'm hoping that we find trees in Oregon and Washington. Worst case, we may have to bring trees from California, which we don't like to do because their climate's different from ours. So
you have a
survivability.
We
have a selection of species that works with the downtown.
Okay.
There's a variety of trees that will work.
Sure.
But that's a whole other level of conversation.
We need a level of understanding too that the bigger trees sometimes don't survive as easily either.
Correct.
Right. And that conversation too is so relevant and it's really important because it doesn't, you know, it's aesthetics as well as anything else. Yeah. But I don't want anyone listening to this to go down that rabbit hole right now.
Of what?
Of let's concentrate on the trees and what trees are going in, because we have plenty of time to do that. So I just want to summarize this so we can move on to item B. And in summary, I just say that as a council and as a board, we've done all we can to address the concerns of the community. It's good news. We're going ahead with construction on December the 9th. And if anyone has a date to remember about this project, it is December the 9th. We go to council where we will be awarding the, hopefully.
Are you talking about this committee? When you say we?
The
council.
We're going to council.
It's going
to
be in front of the council.
Okay, the council is going to take
where the bid is awarded to one of three, I believe, or four, I don't know how many, contractors. So we really don't have time right now to derail this in any way that would affect those plans.
No, but we want to make sure that all the questions have been answered. And that we're all, you know,
I think we've done that. I think we've done that.
The I's have been dotted, the T's have been crossed.
You can always
okay.
So by all means, please look at those I's and those T's and whatever else.
Whatever we need to look at, Terry, is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, and the points that Rachel's brought up are totally relevant, one of two of which I wouldn't even thought about. But what my point is, I don't want that to distract from the fact that come January, this project under four names, one is Main Street, one is Willamette Falls, one is an arterial roadway, another can get confused with the historical Main Street Society. The project is from 10th to 16th. It's a complete overhaul and we're ready to roll on it. And I want to clear up confusion about what which project we're talking about right now. And it's very, very important. And I get a lot of phone calls about it. So just for my own peace of mind, I mean, I should say that. Anyway, thank you all. So let's move on to item B, Clackamas, sorry, 2B, Clackamas County Vehicle Registration Fees.
So I think we added this to the agenda just to give you guys an update. Clackamas County has approved a vehicle registration fee for the county. They've worked with ODOT on that to start charging. They'll start collecting money, I believe, next year. Because vehicles, I think, get registered once every 2 years, then there's a delay in the, basically, there's a, you know, some delay in getting the full amount that the city is, Westland is allocated. But we'll be seeing that start showing up in the next, really in the, mostly in the next budget cycle. The big other part of that item is there is a lot of conversation right now in the county as a whole about, I can't remember what they're calling it, but it's basically the county's reserve a pool of that money so that sort of special projects can get done that are of countywide or regional interest. And so the county will get so much of the money for their unincorporated roads. Each city will get so much money for their roads based on population, and it's equitably distributed that way. And then there's this pool of sort of what I call leftover money that goes to special projects. And so the initial conversations on that pool, if you follow Clackamas County politics at all, and the county commissioners, is that would mostly be used on projects that have that are of interest to at least two government entities. So, like, if there's a project that the county and the city of West Lynn is interested in, or if there's a project that is of interest between Oregon City and West Lynn, or if there's a project that's of interest between
Gladstone.
Metro's technically not considered one of the agencies, so it would be like Gladstone and Oregon City, maybe, or something like that. So it's either one of the cities in the county or two of the cities, and then it's not a huge pile of money, and it really won't come into play until a couple of years from now, but they're already starting to talk about projects. I think the areas of interest that we as staff have identified as partner type projects are mostly located in the Stafford area. So projects like the intersection of Childs and Stafford Road, where there's always seems to be a backup, or adding shoulders and or a center turn lane or something like that to Rosemont Road or Stafford Road, particularly Stafford, where there's, you know, a lot of bicyclists or whatever, and there's no shoulders when you get past the north of the bridge as you approach the roundabout. And so, you know, that's always seen as sort of a dangerous, you know, issue in an area of concern. So so when you hear about, you know, this pool of funding in the future, that's what that's about.
What about the money that's earmarked or allocated to the cities? Are there restrictions on how that can be used, or however you need it?
The restriction is basically the same as motor fuel tax.
Oh, so it's maintenance.
So it's it's not necessarily maintenance. It's geared towards something street or right-of-way related. So it would be anything within the right-of-way. So you could certainly do maintenance with the money, and like overlays or a slurry seal, but you could also do projects like improving Highway 43 or adding safe routes to school sidewalks or stuff like that.
It's just not new building new roads or...
It could be building new roads. I think the only thing, you know, what you could not do is stuff like building an expansion of the police station. Or something that's not related to...
It's got to be...
Transportation transportation related infrastructure, really.
Yeah.
Is the focus.
Okay. You could put a parking garage.
No, I thought I forwarded...
You did.
Okay, so if you're interested in that level of detail, by all means.
Once we can breathe, when this starts construction, I'll be diving into that totally. But I think at this point, I want to try and keep us as broad as focused as possible.
What was the the actual fee that the county for vehicle registration? Do you know?
You know, I remember, I knew it off the top of my head. I'll send you guys a link. Clackamas County has a web page dedicated to what it is and outlines the fee amount. I want to say
it's a considerable amount of money. If you look at it annually, it's not...
Yeah. I think the fee is like $30 per vehicle or something like that. I don't know if it's exactly $30, but
I think it was somewhere in the region of $500,000 to $600,000 a year in addition.
A city like Westland is close to $500,000.
Yeah,
so
per year. Give or take. Yeah, I mean it's a chunk of change. Yeah. We can make some headway with it. Thanks very much, Lance. So let's move on, if we may, if everyone's okay with it, to item number 4, capital projects update. Anything on there, Lance, that we need to roll over?
Nothing major. Like I said, we have some small subdivisions under construction in town. There was a good discussion with the Planning Commission on Monday night about street widths and residential street widths in new subdivisions. So that'll be something to be aware of and on your radar. I think they had asked that some street items, like, you know, we had talked about the sidewalk work and where should sidewalks be and where should they not be, get brought back up. So I think planning staff is going to be adding into their docket. They basically have a docket of workload and what they work on, and they prioritize that based on council direction. And so I think they're moving up in the planning docket this work on street widths for subdivisions, the work on where sidewalks should and shouldn't be. I don't think the ADUs, there was some discussion about should improvements be made when an 80, you know, so should street improvements be made when an accessory dwelling unit is being installed or not, or a new home is replacing an existing home? You know, should the street work be done, like sidewalks and stuff? So I would anticipate in our next year that these would be items that the TAB may want to give feedback on, and as well as provide some information to the Planning Commission. Some of the things like street widths may even impact the transportation system plan, which would go through this group as well as the Planning Commission, depending on the outcome of those discussions. So I think just more to be aware of in general on those kinds of issues, not necessarily a capital project thing other than staff time and resources and maybe some consulting work on what that might look like. The other capital project updates I have, which dovetails with our geo bond discussion, was Highway 43. ODOT is continuing to, I would say, make some forward momentum on Highway 43 from Elo down to Hidden Springs. The big challenge that they have right now, which will eventually be coming to council, is their cost estimates are sky high. The federal process and the way they do projects, they still have, even though they have all the surveying done and everything, they still have a 40% contingency in their cost estimates on top of 20-25% contingencies for other things. So it just compounds, you know, their cost estimating. And so we're currently working with ODOT admin on trying to get their costs down closer to the budget of the project. But realistically, I think, you know, our goal was to get in that project the full meal deal on Highway 43 with bike and ped improvements on both sides of the road and intersection improvements at all the intersections. A realignment of Old River to Hidden Springs and all that in the project from Lake Oswego down to Hidden Springs. I don't think that's feasible with their budget and the way they do program and do federal aid projects. They have a bunch of additional costs in their projects that we don't. For example, ODOT considers the top 12 to 18 inches of soil along all ODOT facilities to be contaminated. And so what that means is they excavate out the top 12 to 18 inches of all soil, regardless of where it's located, and haul it to Hillsborough to a special landfill. And so we didn't have that in our original project cost estimate for that project. It didn't even exist as a thing at ODOT when we developed the grant application for that corridor. And that adds $1 million to the project. So when you have a roughly $6.5 million budget, and ODOT's, you know, current estimate is like $16 million, you know, something's got to give. And so I think, you know, we'll see how it goes in the next few months, but I think what we'll probably end up doing is having to subtract certain elements from the project just to get it to align properly with the budget. Our goal is to at least get one side finished and the signals done, but we'll see how it goes as that moves forward. So while I have great news on Willamette Falls Drive and staying on track and on schedule and on budget, ODOT, not so much. It's a real struggle.
We're relying on other agencies. I mean,
And there's a whole reason for that, and it's really about, I call it scope expansion, right? Mm-hmm. You know, where you're just doing a lot more. Like, this was supposed to be a bike ped project, and now it's turned into a environmental remediation project, you know, and all these other issues. And so it just adds to the complexity and, you know, why people get frustrated with the federal government and state government, and so it just, you know, adds to the issue. So that's probably my biggest negative for the group. We are making headway with the other parts of design for Highway 43 and for Willamette Falls Drive. I do anticipate this winter starting to do some core samples along those routes look at soils where we're looking at retaining walls, so that we know exactly what we're getting into with those issues. You know, is it rock? Is it soil? What are we looking at with those locations? So if you see some, you know, drilling machine on the edge of 43 or down by the school property along Willamette Falls Drive, you'll know that that's us, not somebody else. You know, they're not drilling for oil or anything.
Gold, maybe they're drinking gold. That'd be nice. Yeah.
So it's making forward progress on those fronts. Also, for capital updates, last night was the T2020 Clackamas County Open House. A lot of people attended for Metro, which I thought was great. But it looks like there's more and more push to possibly include Highway 43 in the T2020 Metro Bond, which is very beneficial for us, particularly considering we just made our application for what's called RFFA grant funding for a section of Highway 43, basically from Hidden Springs down to Pasadillo, if you're at all familiar with that area, just south of Pimlico, right? Inching our way south, right? And knowing all these costs that ODOT's throwing at us, It doesn't look like we've got a lot of support at our at the RFFA table for the next phase of the project. What I've noticed with Metro and with the region is it's getting more and more difficult for a community like West Linn or Lake Oswego to get grants because they're getting more and more geared towards low and moderate income areas. And so, you know, there's this thing called CDBG grants, which are community development block grants that are specifically for low and moderate income areas that are federal dollars that communities with low and moderate income areas get allocated to them directly in some cases. But what we're seeing is a groundswell of even more push to take grant money like regional flexible funds, which are really geared towards bike and ped and in the region, also focusing those dollars as well in the low and moderate income areas, which we don't really have a surplus of low and moderate income areas. And so
sort of reverse discrimination.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you become a victim of your own success.
Well, it just kind of is a little hard to wrap your head around the idea that transportation planning isn't about congestion.
Right.
But a lot of the criteria is socioeconomic type of stuff.
Right. Right. So also something to be aware of as we march forward. And certainly advocating to somebody like Christine Lewis, who represents us at Metro, that, hey, transportation should be about congestion and regional safety and facilities regardless of income. And right. You know, certainly you don't want to ignore low and moderate areas, but you don't want to ignore other areas where there's defined problems. Like our section of 43 actually had a bike fatality in that corridor section that we're applying to. No other project that's applying from Clackamas County has mm-hmm. had a bike fatality, but they are located in low and moderate income areas, like unincorporated Clackamas County off of just off of McLaughlin or some more residential areas off in the Milwaukee area. So it becomes, you know, it becomes a head scratcher as to how do you balance equity with mm-hmm. safety,
right,
and needs of the whole versus needs of the few, you know, the socioeconomically disadvantaged. So
Highway 43 isn't just our little neighborhood's route.
Right.
It's a pass-through.
Yeah.
And so I like to argue that the whole region uses it and the whole region would benefit because it is one of the few north-south routes. Mm-hmm. And so...
Good point. I mean, good point. Thank you, Lance. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot we've got coming up next year. So, I mean...
Right. And continue to look forward to. So, like, the RFFA money... That's really for 2022 through 2024. So, you know, you're looking at these, you know, grants that have sometimes very, very forward lead times. And even the T2020, again, a call to Christine or to any of the Metro counselors advocating for that project to be basically, in their terms, advocating that Highway 43 be elevated to tier one status from its current tier two status would be certainly a good thing.
Great.
So they often are more receptive to community advocates than they
versus
are to
versus elected or staff.
Mm. Well, that's
going to a Metro meeting and saying, "Hey, I think this should be a tier one project."
I spoke up last night.
Go ahead, Matt.
Very good. So. Thank you for being there, by the way.
You're welcome. It was very interesting.
You're right.
I just was wondering about the rerouting of Willamette Falls over by Chestnut Street or Walnut Street.
You mean towards the Arch Bridge area?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's When is that phase, or do we know?
Well, we're still working with the property owner, because the property owner of the area around the old City Hall police station is not the mill owner. And so the mill is actively operating again, but there's a different property owner now that owns all of that upper space above the island and the locks. And so we've been working with their consultant on trying to come up with a plan that meets their development metrics that make it, that really just make it affordable to do. The council has, I think, given planning staff direction to include no options are off the table, including urban renewal. So, you know, it gets to how do you build those out? How do you improve those corridors?
Okay.
I don't see any big grants coming our way anytime soon for that corridor. So it becomes more of a local issue of how do we pay for that.
That's probably years out.
Could be. Or if something magically breaks loose, it could come sooner. I don't see ODOT getting funding for the I-205 widening anytime soon. It's not top priority at the state legislature right now.
That was slated for to start.
No.
No?
They've started the... So what they've done is they've done the design and... majority of the design, and they've started what's called phase one work, which is the ITS work. So they'll be adding basically the big signs over the freeway, but no actual paving or bridge work has been funded by the state legislature yet. So
it's on hold.
Yes, so it's all sitting on hold. Which may not happen until maybe we get a new president or something else breaks loose at the state legislature, which, you know, just sort of delays everything. I think this opens up the conversation of the bypassing on Willamette Falls Drive. You know, we've talked in the past about putting a ramp meter on the Tualatin River Bridge, where we're just metering people through, so it causes more backup out into the unincorporated Stafford area. But you know, if Waze or Google Maps shows that it's 1 minute faster on Willamette Falls Drive than on I-205, then everybody's going to take Willamette Falls Drive,
and then we'll get to start going after the federal dollars because it's I-205B.
Right.
Right. Well, let's get back on track.
So that gets into that whole conversation.
Right. Okay. It's 7:34. I just want to see if you know. Thank you, Lance, Terry, your input too. Let's move on then to item number five, board discussions and announcements. Excuse me. So November meeting date, let's set that.
So normally our meeting would be the Wednesday before, if we followed our normal schedule, would be the day before Thanksgiving. And knowing that that's a holiday week and a lot of people are in and out, and I've already had one member, I think Greg, say he wouldn't be available that day.
I'll be in Florida.
So they've got another member that's out because of holidays.
That's it then.
So typically what we would do is reschedule to the, and because of you know, Christmas is a no-go because we're every other month anyway, typically. So my suggestion would be that we meet on, instead of on the 27th, that we meet on December 4th.
I think that's way too close to December the 9th for my taste. I think if anything, we ought to bring it forward.
You would like to meet earlier?
Absolutely.
Why is that so bad? I mean, I don't understand.
It's not catastrophically bad, but if anything crops up between now and December the 9th, when we actually go out
But we don't have to do anything.
No, I mean, the contract to, is really pretty much just
as if we're the ones that are going to be on the hot seat.
No, uh-uh. Really, right. By the time the contract is in front of the city
that's
council...
That's fine. Yeah, you want my phone for a day and hear the messages I get about this?
Yeah, but that's the public not knowing what's going on.
That's my point, is if we brought it forward, we'd have an extra week or two before December the 9th, if there's anything
relevant.
Yeah,
but we're not basing this on public disgruntlement. We are basing this on what is good for the businesses, what is good for the city of Westland, what is safe for the city of Westland. So I think that's where what the thing is.
Name the date, Lance. What did you say? November the what?
So December 4th would be the week after.
Let's do December 4th.
But it would still be before the 9th. So if there was something, we could alert you guys and you could be there on the 9th. But I don't foresee anything at this point.
Well, December 4th. It is a holiday. We are entitled to take a holiday.
Yeah.
So I guess the question would be,
I'm very aware of
a vote of the group to officially define what that date of the next meeting would be.
So Wednesday, December 4th?
Let me know. It doesn't matter. Yeah, as long as it's before December 9th,
I think that'll work for me. I'll just be getting back into town that day. That morning.
Maybe I should check my calendars here. Maybe I'm not sure. I'm speaking to my sister in the UK and figure it out. Let me know.
So your meeting will be shorter.
I'll be gone.
Whatever date you guys decide, let me know.
Yeah, I'm good for the December 4th.
Well, we'll look for a quorum for December 4th, and Morgan will reach out to everybody. And if we can get a quorum on the 4th, then we'll plan.
So do we need to move it? Do we have to motion to have it moved to December 4th?
No.
That's just a procedural thing.
It's a procedural thing. It's not a legislative.
If we're all in agreement, that should be fine.
All right. So, okay. Cool. And then public comments. We have no public present. Unless anyone's chipping.
There was one other thing that... one other item or announcement I had is added to your list of stuff. Oh. You should have this sheet if you don't have it.
The annual report.
So we have the annual report coming up. So we have taken the volunteer exercise of putting together this so that you guys can look at it. But basically, it's the group getting information to Andrew as the chair that... addresses all the topics that are listed over here. So the name is obvious, the group leadership is pretty obvious, meeting dates and times we've already added. Here's an extra if you don't have one. The times and dates of meeting, the accomplishments, we sort of penciled in something there for you guys. I think what we're looking for as staff is to verify that everything that we've got penciled in meets your expectation, and then also for you guys to add your 2019 challenges, any challenges the group faced in 2019, also adding in the 2020 goals that you would like to see done in advance of the council goal setting session so that they can review that, and any additional feedback that you may have to council and what is it? Accounting of Neighborhood Association Grant Funds. That's I think only relevant to the NAs.
Yeah, that's not relevant to us at all.
So that wouldn't be an issue for you guys.
So I'd like to move to add this to the December 4th agenda.
Wait, what's the deadline to have this?
Yes.
Is it like the second week of December?
Yeah, I think the 4th was okay. So you could have an official discussion, but anything that you guys can get to Andrew before that date, we can include, and he can look at, and then you guys can have an official sort of, yes, that's what we want for the goals and objectives and all that for the December
4th. Yeah, and I know like EDC meets on the 12th of December, and we're not having an extra meeting. We're just going to be doing and working on it.
Well, let's include that. Yeah. I think you should. Let's propose it.
The council really needs this for December because this goes into our goal setting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if we address this on December 4th with the meeting, that's okay with council.
That's your job.
So I formally am moving or requesting to put it on the agenda for next.
I think that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. And any comments that we have or any information, get it to Andrew.
Get it prior to Andrew and Morgan, and she can help put it together for you. Yeah.
Okay. So last year.
Okay. So that motion got passed, right?
I think we just all agreed.
It wasn't a motion. Okay. All right. And then so I. The meeting is adjourned.
I just have a little bit to share. If anybody would like, I went to the League of Oregon Cities conference and picked up a bunch of these. It's called Get Oregon Kids Moving. I got these to share with you and with the school board. It's about
walking to school.
Yeah.
Get them moving.
Safe routes to school, and you know those kind of programs.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. This looks fantastic.
Thank you, Terry. That's great. Awesome. Yeah. Other than that, does anyone have any other comments before we adjourn?
Yeah, I think wonderful.
Look forward to seeing you all on December 4th. The meeting's now adjourned at 7:42 on Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019.
Thank you. Well done.